to the news of the morning, and that is the news, thankfully, that there hasn't been a further escalation of the war in Iran, despite the threats of Donald Trump that he was going to end the civilization. A ceasefire has been announced between the United States and Iran for 2 weeks. It's a proposed 2-week ceasefire between the US and Iran, as you heard in the news, conditional on the Strait of Hormuz being reopened. Oil prices have fallen sharply on the news, which is the good news. Brent oil has dropped by 14.4% to $93.48 from $110 plus it was yesterday. Donald Trump, of course, is claiming that the deal is a total and complete victory for the US. The Iranians are saying, well, pretty much the opposite. They're describing it as a total and complete victory for them. Simon Harris, tarnished, has welcomed the ceasefire, saying it followed unacceptable threats that are well outside international norms. We have now Friday peace talks starting in Islamabad between the Iranians and the United States. There's a fairly, just on this, and this is being reported, there's confusion already this morning about what exactly has been agreed. Donald Trump saying there was a 10-point plan put forward by Iran that formed the basis at which we can agree a longer-term peace. Now, according to the Iran's news agency, Mehr News Agency, the 10 points are a U.S. commitment to ensure no further acts of aggression, continued Iranian control of the Strait of Hormuz, and that's important because they didn't have control of it before the war, and there's some suggestion they'll be charging millions of dollars in tolls, which we'll all end up paying for if that's agreed in terms of our petrol and diesel prices. Acceptance of Iran's nuclear enrichment rights, a lifting of all sanctions against Iran, termination of all Security Council, UN Security Council resolutions against Iran, payment of damages for Iran for loss in the war, a withdrawal of US combat forces from the region, not just the ones that are out there for the war, but from all of the region, and a cessation of hostilities on all fronts, including Lebanon. Now, Israel is claiming this morning that Lebanon is not included. So there's a bit of confusion as to what exactly is going on. But that list seems like a charter for Iran. Donald Trump saying it's the basis. Oh, maybe he's got a different list in mind. I'm not so sure. But we'll be finding out, I guess. The important point, I suppose, from the point of view of today, is that the violence has stopped, at least. And the deaths and the killing of people has stopped. So that's something to be positive about. What everything else, I'd imagine, is worked out, so that there's lots of confusion about what exactly has been agreed to. If you have a view on it, get in touch with us. Are you very thankful for it? Get in touch with us on the programme this morning. We want to hear from you. But the situation at the moment on the ground is lots of people have been disrupted in their travel, trips to hospitals, appointments, other trips, trying to get to and from work in various parts of the country because of day two of this nationwide fuel protest. With me on the line to talk about this in more detail is Independent Deputy for Kerry, and that's Deputy Danny Healy-Ray. Danny, good morning to you and thanks for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning to the people of Kerry.
I'd imagine you're thankful, first of all, on the wider sense that the bombing has stopped.
Well, you see, I suppose that's prone to stop and could be prone to start again. We hope it stays stopped because it has completely driven everyone that I know practically mad. Like it's a war about nothing. It started out of nothing, but to the effect it has far-reaching consequences for people trying to survive here in Ireland and indeed around the world. But it's making it very difficult for people to survive and to keep going. And if fuel prices remain as they are, people will just have to stop up. They can't continue, whether it is haulers, whether it is tractormen, whether it is people going to work, whether it is buses taking children to school. The whole thing is not economically to stay going. I could see that it would be much easier to stop up and more beneficial to stop up and do no more until the thing is sorted out properly.
And it might take a long time for that to happen, Danny. Even if the Strait of Hormuz is open up today, it's going to take a long time for prices to come back down, I'd imagine, to get the fuel flows back to where they were before all this started.
Well, that is true, because when there's an announcement that prices are to go, they seem to go up away quicker than when the announcement comes that oil prices are to go down. this has been the trend in the past, and I don't think it will change now. As for some of the things that people can't understand, Jerry, is we're not supposed to be getting much oil from that source, Iran, and that side. I thought it was the northeast or Norway or through Norway. We can't understand here how we're affected so quickly and how that has happened, because...
Well, I suppose when there's, I don't know is the honest answer, but I'd imagine when there's a shortage somewhere and there's 20% of it gas affected as well, it has an effect on the overall oil commodity market worldwide, is part of the problem. Traders look at it as a whole.
Yeah, well, that's, I suppose that's something that a lot of people need to get an explanation on, because, including myself, because I can't understand this. But in any case, Jerry, the dollar hasn't sat now for 2 weeks ago today since we discussed it. And I felt at that time there was an attempt to appease the hauliers and that side of it. But very little was done to the rest of the country depends on green diesel for industry, for building houses, for farmers. At this time of the year, they haven't been able to go inside the gap for the last 3 or 4 months because the land has been too wet. And now they're trying to move around and they're looking forward to cutting silage and stuff. There's no hope if there isn't something done. And there is leeway there for the government to do it. And I asked them on the last Wednesday, I stood up on the Dáil, and to ensure that they take no tax from the extra cost that was being charged to people, whether it's carbon tax or excise duty or VAT or whatever it is. They have to forget about that. And take very, very, very little at all now. And it's gone further than that now. They'll have to reduce the carbon tax and reduce the excise and reduce the VAT to ensure that the people... because if people go out of business, Jerry, it's way harder to get back than if we keep them ticking over in the first place and do as much as we can for them. I feel the government hasn't been doing that, and they'll have to shape up. And these people are looking for a meeting with the government, and they weren't entitled to that.
You think they should get one? But who are these people, Danny? They're not the hauliers. They're not the IFA. They're protesting at the price of diesel and petrol, and they want a meeting with the government.
Well, that's the thing. They have to come forward. Whoever made the statement that they want to talk to the government, they'll have to present themselves. But I can see it's the only way we'll have to go. And like, we as elected members will be talking to the government next Tuesday when the dollar's back. And every chance and option that we get to talk to them, we will be doing that.
What would you like to see happen in terms of prices, so Danny, and what about the cost of it all? Whether it's a cap or a further reduction in the excise, how much of a reduction would you like to see, and for how long?
Well, in the first place, Jerry, the carbon tax was put in place to try to stop people of using fossil fuels or whatever, but you can see that the option is not there. Electric vehicles, there's no electric tractors, there's no electric lorries. And I mean, the capacity in there for to charge them, if they did bring in a lot of these vehicles or types of vehicles, the capacity in there to charge them. And on top of that, the cost of electricity is going up, and we don't know how sustainable that option is going to be either, because every year since more and more was closed, the cost of electricity has gone up. There's no regulator. But anyway, what I want to get back to is the carbon tax should be suspended. Take as much, give back as much of the excise and the VAT that they're charging, especially on the extra cost, because it's not fair to be taken. We were told today, 2 weeks, that the government was making 40 million extra a week out of the extra taxes that were taken. God Almighty, so they can't keep taking that. And they can't be allowed to do that. And that can be my duty and other like-minded people to stand up and lay it on the ground for the issue, because they can't forget the people that are depending on heating oil, elderly people, give them 2 cents off it. And the people that are working every day, 2 cents off a green diesel or 3 cents, that's not good enough. And they have more than that to play around with. And I'm calling them from here through your good radio to get off their backsides now and ensure that they do something about that. Because okay.
How long? This is the question, though, Danny, and it's fine to say and fine to claim, you know, reduce the fuel, but how long and how much is it going to cost?
Reduce it by the extra amount of tax and carbon that they're collecting at the present time first anyway. And suspend the carbon tax because...
Suspend it or get rid of it?
Well, they say they can't. I was never for it. I never voted for it. And if there be any vote today or tomorrow...
But you agreed with the government. You're supporting the government who are implying it, imposing it, Danny. But do you want to get rid of it?
I want to get rid of it now anyway. And I was never for it. But if they say they have some that was voted in such some kind of a way they can't get rid of it, they can't suspend it. And I'm asking them to do that till the country gets in its feet again. Because, like I said to you, Jerry, if fellas go out of business, so the way is if they stay out of it and try to go back. And there's an awful lot of heating employers at the present time, whether it is increased costs for everything, increased costs of employment. They can't take this, Jerry. They'll fold up.
Okay, would you walk, Danny, let me ask you this. Would you walk away from supporting the government if they don't agree to do what you're asking them to do?
Look, Jerry, I'll put it this way to you. I support them when they're doing something right and something good, but if they're doing harm and doing something bad, I won't support that. I'm elected by the people of Kerry.
You'd walk away. You'd pull your support from government.
What I said to you is, I'll vote for what's good and for what's right, but I'm not voting for to increase the carbon tax. I'm asking them to suspend it now, and I'm assuming there'll be a vote called on it. And I'll be supporting the suspension of it, because there's no need of it. You can see that people can manage without their vehicles. They can get to doctor's appointments, they can get to hospitals, they can go to work. They can't bring their children to school. They can't deliver the goods. Diggers can't dig foundations for to build houses. And, like, if the government were doing everything they could, grand. But they're not doing it this minute, Jerry.
Okay.
They're not doing enough, and they're not doing their best. And they didn't do it last Wednesday, 2 weeks either, and I asked them to do it.
Let me ask you this question. You're talking about people trying to get on the road, people trying to get about their business and trying to survive. What do you say to those who are massively impacted yesterday and again this morning by these protests? The N22 in Macroom, huge tailbacks causing disruption. People can't get to their hospital appointments. It's the same in Limerick City. There's a ghost law near Port Leash. The Ennis Plaza, fuel protests. They're stopping fuel coming into the country. What do you say to people who are trying to get by and trying to do their business who are massively impacted by this protest, Danny, going to a second day? Some people are saying this morning could last till Friday. The whole country will stop up.
I'm very hot for those people as well, Jerry, because they rang me from different parts of the country. People trying to get to Shannon Airport, people trying to get to Limerick Hospital, people trying to get to Cork Hospital, and I feel for them very, very much. But I think protesters have, they have upped their game today. They're slowing people down. I'm in the queue myself, coming down from Dublin, and they're slowing people down, but people are still moving. So what I would be advising people is to leave a lot earlier than the army would have.
That's no good if you're trying to get to a hospital appointment, though, Danny, surely. Haven't they made their point by now?
I know that, and like I said to you, I do feel for those people very much. But the people that are protesting, they're not divas, they're not brigades, they're trying to protect their families too. They have a table and children and houses to pay their mortgages and to pay for their vehicles or whatever. And there has to be room for those people too. I do feel for the people that are held up. But it's the government's time now to act, and it's their time. And if the protesters see that the government were doing their best and doing what they could with the resources they had, they'd be satisfied with that, and they'd try to work with that. But they have a way more, they're taking in way more tax, carbon tax, VAT and excise, the whole bloody lot since the price of oil went up. Yeah. And they have to relinquish that.
Let me ask you this, Danny. Look, and people will be saying this. You're saying you're not happy. You're saying you want action. You're saying you'll vote for what you like and vote what you don't like. But if you're and it's clear you're passionate this morning about what you're going to do. If they don't do it, they don't suspend carbon tax, are you willing to indicate your displeasure by walking away from supporting this government, saying, I'm no longer part of a deal, I'm not happy, you're not doing your best for the people of Ireland, and I'm in solidarity with them, I'm walking away?
Well, I'll put it this way to you, Johnny. There was no part in my deal for government to raise carbon tax, or to raise excise, or to raise VAT. Like they have done.
Well, it rises with the price of fuel, Danny. It wasn't the decision to go in. The government didn't start this war. Donald Trump started this war.
Yes, yes. I agree with you about that. But they have to relinquish the extra amount of tax and VAT and excise that they're getting.
I understand that. But if they don't suspend carbon tax, are you willing to walk away from your deal with the government? Because you're supporting the government at the moment as part of the deal.
I'll deal with that when I see what they do. And I'll be putting it up to them, and I put it up to them today that it was not any part of my deal to allow the carbon tax to be increased in a way that they could avoid. And they can avoid doing it, and they'll have to avoid doing it, and they'll have to like I say, forget about the holiday now and deal with the urgency of this, because when you see people stopped along the road with grand lorries and grand tractors, and they would be working. They didn't buy them or have them in the first place if they were going to leave them oil and be paying back for them. So the government must realize that they are taking in more, and if the protesters see that they were relinquishing that and giving it back to them, and that their hands were tied after that with the cost of oil, that would be fine. But they're not doing that today, Jory.
All right,
certainly not doing that.
And you want more action from them?
Since this thing started.
Okay, all right, Danny, listen, that's where we're going to leave it. That's the view of Independent Deputy Danny Healy-Ray. The Minister for Transport has been speaking in the last number of minutes. He's not happy. He's strongly condemned the fuel protests around the country, describing them as counterproductive. What it's doing right now is costing the very businesses within our towns and cities. If you want to retain these services to help people, you have to have a functioning economy. He said the government has significantly reduced the excise on petrol and diesel. I recognise the fact there are genuine concerns that people have, but I think by any fair assessment, if you look at how we've responded so far and compare how Ireland and the Irish government responded in regard to support versus other European countries, our measures have been significant. I ask those who are protesting to recognise that and desist. This is what is happening now is not helpful, to put it mildly. He said the government will continue to speak to representative bodies of the industry, especially the Irish Road Haulers Association, and he raised the issue of the blockade of oil terminals at Galway and Foynes with the Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, and described it as a serious turn of events. We can't have a situation of forecourts with no supply. Nobody wants to escalate this. We want to de-escalate. We understand what the protesters are saying, but we need to be able to respond in a sustainable, targeted way to a global crisis. This is not a crisis unique to Ireland. So that's what the Minister for Transport is saying this morning in relation to the protests. There are protests, as I said, in Cork, Limerick, Galway and Dublin again today, and at Foynes Port. And with me on the line from there is Níolas O'Connor, who's a farmer, representative of the IFA, but is not acting with them today. They are in a personal capacity. Níolas, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry.
You made the trip this morning from my van.
I did. I came down in support with my colleagues down here. We came down at 5 a.m. There was people here through the night, so I popped down at around 5 a.m. this morning.
Okay, and what's happening there at the moment? What is it looking like? Is the port totally blocked? Are roads around it, or what's the story?
No, the roads around Foynes are open to the general public with no disruption whatsoever. And yes, there's a peaceful protest at the gates of Foynes Port, and there has been no activity in or out of the port since about 9 p.m. last night.
Okay, so nothing coming in and nothing coming out of the port, and they're blocking the gate, basically.
Yeah, we're walking peacefully along the entrance with accordance with Garda Síochána. They have been very helpful, and they're very understanding. And we have access at all times. I was listening there earlier on where they're saying that there's no access for emergency vehicles. There's access for all emergency vehicles. It's not by no means a disruptive protest. It's a peaceful protest. And we're standing in solidarity with our contractors and our hauliers and also, Jerry, the general public.
Yeah. Okay. So people can travel to and from, but there's no fuel getting in or out. Is that right?
Correct, no. Not at this present time, no.
How long is that going to go on for?
As long, Jerry, as it takes until the government engages with the industry in relation to... There are several issues here, and I'll go through them with you.
Okay.
They give 20 cents a litre back on white diesel, which I welcome. And I also welcome as well. And we must be clear on one thing. There has to be tax on fuel to run the country. We understand that. But if you give 10, you give they give 20 cents a litre back on excise duty on the price of fuel. Now, if you take what the price of fuel has risen from where it was until today, the government have an extra 10 cents a litre on VAT alone. So instead of giving 20, they've actually given 10. That's on the white diesel scenario with the hauliers and the people that are burning white diesel. In our scenario where we're burning green diesel, they give 3 cent. And they give 2 cent a litre on the NORA levy, the National Oil Reserve levy. Now, our fuel, Jerry, for green diesel went from 90 cent a litre, and it's currently trading today at 160. On that alone, if you take diesel at 90 cent a litre, they have 10 cent a litre on VAT. The VAT on green diesel is 13.5%. It's now at 165 this morning. Now the government automatically have 20 cent a litre. So they have 10 more cent a litre again on tax on a fuel, Jerry, that's used for food production. That's the first part. The second part of there is 18 cent a litre on all green diesel and carbon tax. And I've been strongly advocating about carbon tax for a long time. Carbon tax is a tax on food production. It's doing nothing, only driving food inflation. We do not have an alternative to green diesel, Jerry. We have no choice in the matter, only fill our tractors with green diesel to produce the food that everyone eats in their tables around the country and around the world.
Yeah.
And now,
yeah,
there is a rebate, Jerry, and I welcome it. There is a rebate for farmers on green diesel and carbon tax. There is no rebate for agri-contractors that are a vital link in the farming, in the business of farming today.
Yeah.
So if they can do it for one sector, Jerry, it should be uniformed for every sector.
Okay, let me ask you this, Niels. You've listed a number of different things there that are complex economic issues to do with taxation, to do with how the country's run, to do with environmental policies and climate policies as well. You're saying the process will continue until all that's sorted out. That could be a very, very long time. And what happens to the petrol forecourts when they start running out of petrol and diesel for people to either go to their jobs or go about their business or try and get to a hospital appointment if you stay blocking fuel?
Of course, we have to be aware, wherever there's protests, Jerry, there's going to be complications and there's going to be problems. And unfortunately, if the government had come to the table properly, engaged and dialogued...
Engaged with who,
we wouldn't be engaged with who?
Because no, like as far as it stands at the moment, this isn't the road hauliers.
No.
This is a disparate group of different people who've organised online, all across the country. But who would they talk to, for example?
Okay, so last week, the Farmers Contractors Ireland and the Irish Farmers Association engaged with I'm aware, the Minister for Agriculture and Simon Harris to Tánaiste. And there was an 8-point proposal put to them, and on them proposals, the rebate or the postponement of the carbon tax was on it. They were handed in them on that day, and they haven't come back to them since. That's a week ago. Actually, that's a week ago today, Jerry. So they have tried to engage with them. And they haven't come back with any response yet. And in the meantime, fuel is escalating out of control. So that's where the problem. Now, we'll talk about the environment sector of it. And we'll call it out as we see it. Every machine we have, Jerry, and including yourself probably, any new car, any new machine to spot, has a diesel tank and it has an AdBlue tank to mitigate the emissions coming out of the vehicle that we use.
Yeah.
We're pouring AdBlue into the tractors for every third fill of diesel we have. That's charged at 23% VAT.
Yeah.
So we're pouring...
I want to take a quick break and we'll come back. Yeah, we're on the line with Neilis O'Connor, who's from Oivan, who is part of the protest that's blocking off the port of Foynes, similar to a port in Galway where fuel is coming into the country. Neilis, look, I understand all the points you're making about the various different elements, whether it's AdBlue or diesel or climate policy or other things. The point I'm making, though, what would you say to this, that, you know, a protest is one thing, and slowing down traffic for a day or two or maybe even 3 days around major cities to make your point is another thing. What would you say to the argument, and it's reflected in the comments of the Minister for Transport this morning, that what you're doing at Foynes and at Galway is a significant new development, that it's an escalation of the issue. Basically, you're threatening the government to meet our demands or we'll drain every petrol station in Ireland dry. Are you not?
I wouldn't go that far, Jerry. I would say,
what is it if it's not that? If you're stopping fuel coming in, is that not what you're doing?
Correct. But can I just be clear on one thing? I said a second ago that we tried to have dialogue with government last week on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
We put out our hand. We're in despair here, Jerry. Let's be clear now on this. We want to be very clear. We're working for farmers at the minute that are selling milk for under the cost of production. Tillage at the minute is under the cost of production. And financial stress and mental stress, Jerry, is taking its toll.
Which is affected by every family across the country that's having to fill their cars since this whole thing started. Everyone's in the same boat to an extent on that. What you're doing is an escalation, is it not? Okay. And it's a threat against the government to say, look, meet us, do what we want, or we'll stop fuel going to petrol stations.
What we're saying, Jerry, is clear. Meet us and have dialogue with us. Stop ignoring us. The government, Jerry, of the country is supposed to look after its citizens.
Mm.
It's not doing it here. How can you say that if you take the government, they give 5 cents a litre, Jerry, on green diesel?
Yeah.
That's an insult.
Yeah, well, if you compare it to other European countries, they've extended their rebates longer than most European countries. So in comparison, I think only Spain have done more across Europe. So we're not an outlier on what they've done.
Maybe so. But let's just go back to a point I made earlier. If you have a rebate for one person, you should have a rebate for every person. There's no justification, Jerry, on carbon tax on green diesel. It's a fuel that's needed to put food on the table of every person that's sitting down to eat their dinner, breakfast or supper in Ireland.
Yeah.
Needs green diesel.
Do you want them to scrap the carbon tax?
Of course I do, because there's no justification to it.
Sure. And is that not a longer-term thing, though, Neilis, than what's happening today? Like, this is a response to a war started in the Middle East by the US President Donald Trump 6 weeks ago, with the effects of which are still being felt and will be felt for quite some time, even if they do come up with a ceasefire. That's the reality here. What you're talking about is the price of petrol, price of fuel, price of diesel. Bring it down. If you start bringing in everything in terms of carbon tax and other issues and farming policy and taxation, like, it's going to be a long time for any of that sorted out, I would suggest. So are you going to keep protesting until that happens?
Let's mitigate the price of fuel by reducing the tax take. We're in a war. This is a war we're dealing with. The government are not doing that. And if you take us, it's frightening facts, like. 300 litres of fuel goes into each machine we'll be using coming into silage season, and it's around the corner.
Yeah.
270, roughly, we'd be benchmarking at an average of 90 cent a litre over the last 4 or 5 years, okay? 270 euros to fill that machine. That machine today is costing 480 euros to fill it. And that has to be filled maybe twice a day during silage season in the busy peak time. And what I'm saying on that is, there's a carbon tax of 18 cent a litre on that, going up and again on the 1st of May. There's a rebate for the farming community, which I welcome and is needed. But we are working for the farming community. We put in the silage, we get the slurry out, we get all the associated works that's done on farms today due to labour shortages and due to the upscaling of farms. We are a vital link in the chain. And what I'm saying is, just to mitigate the carbon tax during these inflated price times and be fair. That's all we're asking for, is fairness and dialogue.
If they don't meet with you or do something, how long will the protest continue, or is that impossible to say?
I can't say that. I'm just one part of a bigger...
Sure. But you keep blocking the fuel as things stand.
You know what I will say?
Yeah.
The people, everyone that has been down here, that has passed, that has called with food to us, and we thank everyone that has brought sandwiches and tea and everything, they're all in solidarity with Astoria. And what does that say?
All right, Neilis, thanks a million. We're out of time, unfortunately, on that, but thanks for giving us your view this morning. Neilis, part of the protest there at Foynes Port.